This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Brought to you by West Escondido, West Oceanside, West El Cajon, West Kearny Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. And now, here's your host of Auto Talk Radio, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. Great stuff going on today. Guess what we're talking about, Brendan?
Oh, everyone's favorite topic, EVs.
Oh, EVs.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat on this one, let me tell you. Now, to be honest, though, I mean, look at where our auto industry is right now. It really still is in the EV realm right now. Surprisingly enough, until we change up how California is going, they're right now in control of where the auto industry is going to. Mm-hmm. And I say EVs are right now where most people are trying to buy the cars from. So
I think this
will be really
good.
Nah, you don't think so?
No. You think everybody's trying to buy an EV?
They have to now at this point.
Until, no, they don't.
Until
they're getting rid of that Band-Aid's going away.
I want to. I really wanted to.
No, he already said. Yeah, Lee Zeldin,
So did the courts finally made the judgment on that?
I don't know.
That's why. Yeah,
too many court cases to follow. They're always suing him over everything. I don't know.
Governor Newsom and his administration.
Is that his name? Newsom?
Yeah, Newsom. Oh. Yeah.
They call him something else on the internet.
Unfortunately, I got to go. I have to hit the dump button if I say the other name that he goes by. Oh. But nevertheless, his administration is suing Trump and his administration for that mandate. So,
for doing away with the mandate.
Exactly, doing away with the mandate.
I was going to say, if he's suing Trump for the mandate, suing himself.
Doing away. I meant to say doing away with the mandate. So I thought the fact that until the court case goes through, the mandate still applies in there until then, because until a judge can actually interpret this whole situation. So.
Yeah, so California's electrical vehicle mandate, part of the Advanced Clean Cars 2 program from California Air Resources Board, better known as CARB, once and again, another California organization like the Bureau of Automotive Repair we talked about on previously shows. It's just a California thing. Aims for all new passenger cars and trucks sold in the state to be zero emission vehicles. ZEVs. That's called a ZEV. We've had PVEVs. Which is partial. There's plug-in hybrid EVs. There's ZEVs, which is zero emission vehicles by 2035. This includes battery electric and fuel cell electric vehicles. Also allows for plug-in hybrid electrics, PHEVs, with specific requirements. The mandate phases in the ZEV requirement, starting with 35% of new vehicle sales in 2026. So they're trying to get next year 35% of new vehicle sales should be electric. That's what the mandate, increasing to 68% in 2030, 100% by 2035. Who signed this thing into effect? It's really weird.
You know who signed it into effect. Don't even try that.
Why would you sign it into effect?
There's got to be somebody behind the scenes.
People are going to have to, California's going to lose money because I'm just going to go to Arizona and buy a gas vehicle. I got to buy a new one.
I mean, they're already doing it everywhere anyways, not just
California. That's my point.
I mean, there's plenty of people registering their vehicles for Montana to get out of tax reasons and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just happening everywhere.
You probably are too young to remember this, but back in the day, and it was in the late 80s, early 90s, California DMV, if you brought a vehicle in from out of state and it had a certain amount of miles on it, under a certain amount of miles, they would charge you a fee for registration initially to initially register out of state. Well, they got sued for that. State of California didn't. They had to do away with it.
We can't have nice things.
What's that?
That's why we can't have nice things, guys.
Well, they got sued, and what, you thought that was a great idea that they charged for that?
No, of course not.
I was going to say, that was it was really annoying, because if you move, let's say you lived in Arizona, you bought a brand new car, you brought it here, then went to register it back then, you had to move here for some reason. Some of these fees were $300 to $800. It was crazy.
$800?
Oh, yeah, for registering a brand new vehicle.
That is ridiculous.
That you brought in from out of state that had lower than, I forget what the mileage requirement was. Once again, they got sued for it and they had to do away with it. So I can't imagine that they'll be able to stop you from bringing vehicles in from other states. But once this goes into effect, I want a vehicle with an ICE, you know what that is?
Internal combustion engine.
Very good, yeah. Brendan. You are learning, man.
I am.
You are. I am. ICE. There's many different kinds.
Not that kind of ICE, everybody. Hold on, ICE. Wait a second.
With an internal combustion engine, we'll be able to go to another state like Texas or Arizona or Colorado and buy it and bring it back, I would presume. So it's not going to stop people from, there's always going to be a percentage of people, such as me, that likes their gasoline vehicle. Do you like your gasoline vehicle?
I love how it runs. I love how it does everything.
So. Are you happy that you don't have to ever plug it in?
Yes.
You're happy about that too, huh? So EVs aren't the greatest vehicle for people that don't, I have a friend that has an EV. He really likes it, but he also owns his home, has solar on it, and the charging station inside his house, so it's free to charge it.
Are you talking about Dave here? Because it sounds just like
Dave. No, does Dave have an EV?
Yeah, he has to take EVs here and there because he's got to do car reviews. He's got solar on his house. Mm-hmm. He's got his own charger inside his garage.
Has he got a high voltage charger, 220?
I believe so, yes. Okay.
His garage, he probably does. He probably had an electrician put it in, yeah, mm-hmm. I presume so. So that's the way to go if you have solar and all that. And it, sure, absolutely, great. If you live in an apartment complex, how's that work out? You got to always pay to play, right?
And not to mention the people that do it decide to install these EV chargers, they have to wait so long to even get it plugged in the first place. And on top of that, there's always damages to those equipment anyways, whether it be people cutting up to get the copper out of it or, again, just in general, bad maintenance of
exactly.
these charging stations.
Exactly. So that's true. So some of the key components, though, of this EV mandate are 100% zero emission vehicle sales by 2035 in California. They can't really make anybody else. I do know there's some states. I think New York was following this, too, or some other state, New Jersey or somebody, too. There's a state on the East Coast that puts mandates in exactly as California does. So their actual charter states that whatever laws California signs in, we sign the same laws in when it comes to vehicles and stuff like that. So phased approach, mandate gradually increases the percentage of ZEVs required in vehicle sales each year, which is what we talked about. Definition includes battery electric vehicles, hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles, and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles meeting specific criteria, range, emission standards, etc. Existing gas vehicles. The mandate acknowledges that gasoline-powered vehicles will remain on California roads for many years and continues to tighten emission standards for these vehicles to reduce pollution. Some of these are not going to be, you actually put a probe in a lot of these cars now, like my truck. It puts out zero emissions when it's sitting there, that the machine can't pick up any emissions coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've gotten so good at that emission controls on vehicles. The mandate is in effect across the statewide. Well, and at least 11 other states have adopted California's role, according to a statement from Congresswoman Kristen McDonald-Revitt. I don't know who she is, but whatever. And so the primary goal is to significantly reduce air pollution, greenhouse gas emissions, and transportations in the transportation sector. We really have reduced. I mean, California's come so far when it comes to emissions. Like I said, if you there you can find the little videos that show like the 60s and 70s and the haze and the pollution that California had to deal with. So, I get it. But Where do you think electricity comes from? Is there something burned to make it? Do you know where electricity comes from?
Obviously, it comes from the sky. The electric gods come down and say, "You can have electricity." That's how that's what I think our government thinks electricity comes from, at least. So I'm not quite sure on that, but I'll say the political answer. It cannot be confirmed or denied.
There you go. So you do know also in January 1st of 2025, CEC must set standards for how charger operators notify customers about availability, accessibility of public EV charging infrastructure. So there is, they're trying to make it better for those people. You were talking about waiting in line and all that stuff, right?
Yep. I don't know if it's gotten any better. I mean, last time I checked, I still see lines out the wazoo, but I mean,
if they're
going to be finding a way, then have at it. But you know, just make sure it's kind of in a quicker process than what we're at right now. That's all I'm asking. But
so basically, the three new resolutions that have to do with California's law that were signed in by the current administration will block California's rule phasing out gas-powered cars and end the sale of new ones by 2035. They will also kill rules that phase out the sale of medium and heavy-duty diesel vehicles and cut tailpipe emissions from trucks. So those rules, he's getting rid of. And that was a major signed. So gas-powered cars and in the sale of new ones. Yeah, so that law about 2035, they had to be all electric. That supposedly is gone now. So as far as that. But California does set the strictest levels in the nation, requiring all passenger cars lighted by 2035, which, once again, we just said that was so. So I think they're fighting over that in court, though, aren't they?
Yep. And I know, because this is going to go all the way up to the federal courts, it's going to take quite a while till we get an actual answer. I'm going to say not even till next year, probably. We're going to have to wait for an answer, probably, on this whole situation. But nevertheless, it's still a very controversial subject with many, many people. We're here to talk about the true cost of what it truly, truly costs you for our actual EVs.
Absolutely.
See if it does benefit you. Because like you said, you're not here to really judge a person if they buy an EV.
EVs are great for some people. Exactly. They're just what we're here to say is that they're not great for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So and options are a great way to go, and you should have options as far as that goes. I don't dislike electric vehicles. I think they have a great purpose for them. Some, like I said, my friend has, he uses his, drives all around the city during the day and plugs it in at night, has no issues, and it's charged by his solar, so he doesn't cost him any money. That was a great buy for him, and it's a nice car to drive. It really is. So nothing wrong with that, but does that work for everybody? No. So the total cost to own an electric car varies, but it generally involves upfront a cost, fuel or electricity expenses, maintenance, insurance, and potential tax credits or rebates. Why upfront costs, including the purchase price, can be higher than a comparable gas-powered car, saving on fuel and maintenance can make them cheaper to own over long term sometimes, especially with potential tax credits. Almost all those tax credits are now gone, I believe. I don't think there's any of them left as far as that goes. You were reading up on that anyway, and also that you can't drive in the carpool lane. And was it this month that it started or October?
I want to say it's October, actually.
I think, so your free carpool cruising because you have an EV with just one person is going to be nixed. Electric vehicles.
I take that back. As of today, September 30th, as of today, it's expired.
It's September 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is August 30th.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, one month.
We're 1 month away. So October 1st, September 30th. So you were close to the October thing.
I will say the final day to order the decal was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
August 29th.
Gotcha. Well, why would you need a decal if you can't use it anymore in a month?
I don't know. That's what. But the current clean air vehicle, or sorry, the California Air Resources Board, said that the decal program was ending and the final day to order a decal would have been yesterday.
Gotcha. So. Well, if you missed it, you missed it. Doesn't matter. In 30 days, you won't need it anyway because it's no good. Right?
That's right.
So there you go. I mean,
unless you want to just enjoy the HOV lane for 30 days. I guess. Go ahead.
But you should already have one, probably.
It should have. You should have.
Yeah. So purchase price. Electric vehicles can have a higher initial purchase price than the gasoline cars, But this gap is narrowing with more affordable models in any market. That is true. There are some affordable ones out there. Electricity is generally cheaper than gasoline, leading to lower, especially in California. Holy smokes. That's a whole nother show about why gas costs so much here, right?
Mm-hmm. No, okay, I can't say that because we're going to get political again. So
the cost,
I'll just sit with my hands tied.
Well, it is a true fact that fuel is way more expensive here than it is in other states.
Yeah,
that's a true fact.
But our governor says it's a certain person, and we know that it's actually specifically that our governor. That's
how could that be when the fuel's been expensive for years here, way
right,
more.
But he continues to do the blame game on that. But yeah. Again, I don't want to get political.
The hair gel's a little tight, so it's squeezing his brain. Back to the cost of charging at home can be significantly lower. That's like we're talking about. If you own a home, you have solar, you can actually be pretty much free to charge the car. And that's a great thing. And that's when you really start to lower the cost of owning one of these vehicles. As far as that goes, EVs have fewer moving parts. So you don't have basically no engine, you know, as far as you got the electric motors. But you don't have an internal combustion engine and all that needs to be serviced and handled and all that. Can lead to potentially lower costs. Some studies show EVs cost around 30%, 31% less to maintain the gas cars. No oil changes, a less frequent brake replacements, items like that. And that is because EVs also do regenerative braking, things like that for charging, and which brake pads tend to last longer and items like that. So, do they still have problems? Absolutely. They have electronic problems. They have motor problems. They have suspension problems. They have control arm problems, depending on what kind of cars you're talking about. So there's always things to maintain on these still. You have to change out the coolant on them because the intercoolers have to cool all this somehow. So as far as that goes, they do have AC problems sometimes. There's all kinds of problems you can still have on an EV mm-hmm. that you have on a regular car.
Absolutely.
So just heads up on that. Insurance costs for EVs can be higher due to the specialized and potentially more expensive parts. So your insurance is probably going to go up. If you think you're saving the gas tax, you're not necessarily. Most states have now added through DMV, when you register your electric vehicle, you have to pay a road tax that way instead of paying the road tax by the fuel you buy every day.
That's right. So they got to figure out a way to get some money out
of it. Well, that money's supposed to go to fix the roads. I don't know if it actually happens here in California, but you know. We've been lied to multiple times. It's fine. We're used to it, Brendan.
I mean, I've been seeing those construction vehicles parked there saying road work ahead, but I don't see any
road working. depreciation rates vary between EV models and brands, with some premium EVs like Tesla holding their value better than others. The T word came out. So
how could you?
Federal, state, and tax credit rebates can significantly reduce the upfront cost. Those are all going away. Isn't that correct?
I think so.
The big new bill that was signed in got rid of the EV tax credits, I believe.
That was what it was, yeah. Uh-huh. And again, it's still up in the air because, again, the Newsom administration and the court cases and stuff like that. So,
correct.
But nevertheless, as of now, I believe there is no mandate. So. It's just, again, still up in the air whether a court will say, no, there is a mandate again, put it back on the state. And
gotcha.
Stuff like that,
So home charging installation, installing a home charging station can involve upfront costs for, I've seen anywhere from, $800 to $4,000 to install, depending on how far they got to run the electricity, the electrician putting things in, you know. So, and installation, but it does provide the convenience of charging at home. And if you do have solar, it does help out.
How much do you think a slate truck will depreciate from its $20,000 base price?
Because,
again, they're banking on the rebate situation. So now that there's no rebate situation, now that this EV market's become even more competitive than it's ever been before, and not to mention, again, that the future of EVs is still up in the air. I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be in a slate truck company right now, or you know, backing them right now either, for that matter. Because
yeah.
Again, it's just
you don't
such
know where
a
it's
risky,
going,
risky
huh?
market.
Yeah. It is a risky market. You don't know where it's going. All right, folks, we're going to take our first break for here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages. We're going to talk some more about you purchasing your own private EV. Get one for your house. Get one for your spouse. Get one for everybody, we should say. This is Auto Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back as we're doing Auto Talk Radio. And we're talking about on this beautiful, the very end of last Saturday in
August,
my friend. Here we are. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. It's, guess what it's going to be before you know it?
Well, September. And
Christmas.
Christmas.
It'll be here. That's your favorite time of year, huh?
Yep, because we just finished my birthday, Thanksgiving. Just end the year off with a perfect note of
Christmas. Don't like to eat or nothing, do you?
I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
So you love Thanksgiving, your favorite holiday?
It's up there. It's up there.
It's up there for sure, huh? There you go. There you go. Nothing wrong with eating some good food, for sure.
Definitely not.
Just make sure it's healthy. Make sure it's healthy.
For Thanksgiving, you can throw that away. Come on.
Oh, you get to toss that aside?
Yeah, get the cheesiest mac and cheese, get the creamiest of gravies, and if you cook some green beans, don't be afraid to throw some bacon on top. Go for it.
Woo! Put a little pig fat in there. Make it good. Make that stuff taste good. Yeah, I agree with you. How can you go wrong?
Hey, before you get into your reading about your business, I do want to congratulate your business. I believe 30 years, is that correct? 33 years for Escondido. Do you know that most small businesses, like, their lifespan is just 9 years? That's it. Like, this is a national study by a company called Zen Business. They found out that the lifespan of a small business is just 8.5 years. So
I've beat the odds by 3 times.
Yeah, your business is currently in what they call the mature stage. So that's
I'm
what
mature.
Zen is. Exactly. But I just want to say congratulations on all your success.
Well, thank you.
And again, we wouldn't be here without you. So again, thank you so much for all the West Automotive Group and your employees. You guys have done really, really well for everybody and looking out for everyone for that matter. So very, very good job.
I appreciate the plug there, my friend.
Of course, of course.
All right. Well, good stuff. Brendan's always awesome to work with, too. I appreciate you being here, too.
Someone's got to turn the buttons and switches
on. But I wouldn't be on the air if you weren't here. I might be sitting here, but nobody would hear me because I don't know how to flip the switches or turn the dial. So, you know, that's what Brendan's good at. Plus, being a bit of a co-host and a producer all in one.
Right.
We often have very good chats, and you come up with great questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
For sure. So, and as we dig into this EV thing, for sure, even more. What a great show. I love talking about this stuff. So I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STARS certified, taking care of folks in North County Inland up there. As Brendan said, this store, 33 years past surpassed. It was August 20th, 1992. I had to think there for a second.
I was about to.
It was August 20th, 1993.
92. 33 years ago would have been 1992.
Okay, then it was 1992. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe it was 1992.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a long time ago. It was a long time ago. So,
I'm almost 30. Don't say it's a long time ago. I'm still young. Hold on 1 second. No, but you.
Well, you know me, you look back, I was a teenager in the 80s. So growing up, graduated high school in 1987. So I think back like that, it doesn't seem that long ago. But when you add up all the years, you're like, holy smokes, that was a long time ago.
Right, right.
I know. Because you are right. Because my son was born December 2nd, 1992.
Wow. Look at that. 92 was such a huge year for you. Wow.
It was.
This is just tremendous. This is a great year.
Yes. Yep. So he'll be 33 in December. So that's how I can kind of keep track of Escondido's age, because I started it right before he was born.
Yeah.
How do you like that stuff? So good stuff, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very.
I interrupted you there. You had West Escondido, and then I think your next door, if I'm doing this math correctly, was it West Kearney Mesa.
No, West El Cajon, out in East County, 844 North Johnson Avenue. Yeah, we got on a side
didn't
we?
You're good.
Yeah. Yep. So, but West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved. Taking care of folks out there in East County for well over 12 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission right in Central San Diego, 8027 Balboa Avenue right there. AAA approved and SMOG certified. Taking care of folks there in Central San Diego for well over 8 years now. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall. AAA approved and STARS certified. Taking care of folks there in the Golden Triangle for over 6 years now. And West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission, 229 South Coast Highway, AAA approved, taking care of folks up there in North County Coastal for well over 2 years now. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We believe in the same philosophy, and that is we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced, repaired, and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about for sure. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. For sure, just ask one of my managers or service consultants helping you out. They'll get you all taken care of. Also, take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis or any other diagnosis needed for your vehicle. Best money ever spent is the money you spend on a qualified technician at a quality facility to diagnose your vehicle properly. It is the best money spent in any repair. It will save you tons of money and unlimited, which eliminates unwanted parts replacement by diagnosing the vehicle properly by our master certified technicians. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work at home at all five locations and low-cost rental vehicles from our rental partners nearby each location. You can go to westautomotivegroup.com and follow us on Facebook, X, or Instagram. We send out little tips and tweets about all kinds of automotive stuff, good stuff to have. You can also click on the Automan segments where I'm the Automan for the CW and Fox 5 News or Auto Talk Radio, where we put these podcasts, we call them podcasts after they're done live and then put on there, and you can listen at any time. You can also pick the podcasts up from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and tune in. Remember, you can listen no matter where you're at. If you want to listen live, you can just pop on and go to AM 1170 and go to live and on for weekend shows and do it, or you can pick up the podcast later if you want to. Either way, we appreciate you listening in and being part of the show, and especially all the calls that we get from everybody. Good stuff. You can always email me at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com if you want to send me a topic, ask me about something, want me to speak about something, or just ask a question. Always great to have those. Happy to help out and answer your questions. You don't necessarily have to come live. You can just do it by email, and I'll talk about what your question was, and we'll get it figured out for you. That way you get to hear about it, okay? All right, back to talking about EVs, right?
Oh, do we have to? I mean,
it's what the show's about.
It's true.
It's true.
You know, did you see that AAA did a study about EVs recently?
Do you? No. Well, I was going to say, AAA found that it cost about $546 annually to drive an EV 15,000 miles, while the same distance in a gas car would cost you $1,255.
Wow, that's exactly what I was going to... Wow, that is very good. They rounded it up saying it's $600, but
yeah,
they found the
difference.
Exact price. Wow,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Nevertheless, still...
That was a study they did. So they're saying in maintenance and annual cost, you could save yourself. But... I wonder if that includes the cost of insurance, because insurance seems to be quite a bit higher on a lot of these.
Not to mention, this study also said that 2/3 of Americans who are willing to buy an electric vehicle had to pay more than $4,000 on an average basis, more than an actual ICE.
Yep.
So for that reason, again,
yep.
you're paying more for not really saving much, for that matter, too.
You'd think not, but you know, everybody's got their own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
A study by Progressive showed the electric cars can save owners about $4,600 over the lifetime of the vehicle compared to gas cars. So that's $4,600 savings. So, but think of this, where we've come in this long time. In 2012, there were only 8 options if you wanted to purchase an EV, and most only had a 75-mile range. Are you aware of that?
Yeah,
2012, that was.
Okay, yeah.
So most only had a 75-mile range. 2022, there are over 100 options, and most vehicles have over 250-mile range.
Yeah, again, showing that we've progressively gotten better with the technology. Now, again, the ranges on some of these vehicles, I wish, are a little bit more deeper for some, for sure.
True.
There are some that are really, really extremely well done. I've seen some go to 450 sometimes, too. Again, we bring him up almost every week. But Dave Stahl, he's known as a really good guy in terms of conserving gas and mileage for different things. Mm-hmm. The one thing he has a tougher time on conserving is the mileage on an EV for a usual basis. For example,
because he's got a heavy foot.
It's something like that. Again, and also, he lives up in Alpine, so the mountains up there are just extreme. Sometimes too in his area too.
It takes more power to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, for example, he recently took a vehicle that said 350 was the mile range. He said, "I literally got to 256 before it was really coming close to empty."
Yeah.
On the thing.
So next time, ask him about when he worked for me and he had an EV1. That's a super fun story.
I want to hear this story.
Yeah. Oh, you never heard the story?
No, I never heard the story.
So Dave was working for me as it was just me and him running the Escondido store. I only had this a long time ago, so I only had the Escondido location back then. And Dave was still writing and doing that stuff. So he shows up with an EV1 one day, and I was like, oh, let me take it for a drive. Well, that car was one of those that, like, actually, GM was one of the first electric vehicle. I think that was the first electric vehicle, to be honest with you, en masse that was produced, you know? Mm-hmm. They didn't sell a ton of them, but, and actually, I think you could only lease them, if I remember. But so I took it out for a drive, boy. And you know, being the first electric vehicle I drove, I was like, brought it back. I was like, oh, it's like 2% charge. He's like, how am I supposed to get home? I was like, I don't know. That's on you, dude. Like, thanks for letting me drive that thing. So that was an ugly car. You can look it up, man. It had like the wheels in the front. It almost looked like a Citroen, you know, kind of
an EV1.
Yeah, GM Motor, General Motors EV1, I believe it was. If I remember right.
It looks like it was from the 90s, for sure. I'll say that much in terms of the way it looks. So, but obviously, they've gotten better in designs, some of it. I'll say this much. It looks much better than a Cybertruck still, nevertheless. So, but not a car I would go get, that's for sure.
Yeah, the GM EV1 was primarily destroyed due to the combination of factors, lack of a sustainable business model, production costs, concerns, long-term safety, and parts availability.
Get ready for this here, too.
What's that?
Time magazine called it one of the 50 worst cars of all time, too.
Oh, EV1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were not. Why, it's difficult to pinpoint exact numbers, believe that only a handful of General Motors EV1s are still in existence today. I don't know why you'd want one of those. They built over 1,100 of them. But most were crushed after the program ended in the late 90s. I think they only leased them out. I didn't think they sold them. Some were donated to museums or research facilities, but the vast majority were destroyed. They got rid of them. Yep. Mm-hmm. That right there. So what year did this thing come out? It ended in the 1990s. So
I'm
don't
surprised know. They put the Model T on this list. I'm looking at the list for the worst cars of all time. And Time put the 1909 Ford Model T.
Uh-huh.
I mean, personally, again, it was a revolutionary car, in my opinion, but maybe 1909 specifically is where Ford wanted to rework it a bit, I'm going to guess. So,
oh, gotcha. Well,
there was a propane car.
That wasn't
car.
The best. Huh? Oh, yeah, there's been plenty
Morgan
of
Morgan Plus 8 propane.
Yeah, well, there's been propane added. Add-ons, like I used to work on several Jeeps that had a propane tank in the back of them, and they added on, and it could run on gas or propane.
Oh my gosh.
So we called those multi-fuel vehicles back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they were actually legal in California. You
are they not legal anymore, I'm assuming?
No, they're legal.
Oh, okay.
Propane's a cleaner burning fuel than gasoline. So if done right, they had a lot of issues, though. Not the best thing in the world either.
Like, sure. What were some of the issues?
Not running right, as far as, well, I mean, you have to definitely get the mixture perfect, and there was an adapter that set over the carburetor that, like, yeah, so yeah. Anything went wrong with them, they had issues. It wasn't the best idea.
The way you're describing it,
by the way, you have a full propane tank sitting in your back seat that you look like, I mean, that looks like a bomb.
It's
so
true too.
Can't say bomb on the radio though.
No,
I don't
can.
Think.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I can. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're just describing it. But yeah. Nevertheless, it's reminding me of, I want to call it like two-stroke gasoline. you have to have the right component, a right mixture of the of a regular gasoline and something else in there to make sure that if you have a gas powered, say weed whacker or some other or chainsaw, for example, you have to have the right amount of mixture in there, or else you're going to completely break down your equipment that you're using for that time. I know that there's.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about damage to the inside of the engine if the fuel mixture's not right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, okay,
yeah,
now I got you.
Yeah,
I
was, yeah. So it's
like damage your equipment. I'm like, what?
Yeah, because I used two-stroke gasoline for only my yard equipment that I had, like specifically.
Oh, yeah. So two-stroke requires oil mixture to it. Do you know why?
I'm assuming because there's no compactibility of the engine.
There's no oiling system inside there. No, there's no oiling system in those motors in a two-stroke. For like the rings and all that. So the oil has to be added to the gasoline so it oils everything in the combustion process.
Gotcha.
And otherwise it would burn up, yeah.
But I know they have prepackaged two-stroke gasoline now, like in separate
models. I'm sure they do. Yeah. Sure, that's cheap.
I don't know for sure. All I know is that my dad always did it on his own because he was confident in it.
Gotcha. Now some two-strokes are like, you can buy two-stroke motorcycles that have oil injectors on them. So okay. There's a thing, you just fill up the oil and then you just put regular gas in and it injects oil into it as it needs it.
Much, much easier to do.
Well, much easier too if you're riding out in the middle of nowhere and you need to, I mean, who carries a gas can that you're going to pre-mix?
No, totally, totally.
We used to call that pre-mix that you had to carry with you. So yeah, that can be quite the job for sure. All right, back to electric vehicles though, for sure. There is definitely a gas tax that most states have now added that we talked about. And the gas tax is equivalent to about, if you drove an F-250 pickup truck, 50,000 miles a year in taxes. So it's usually $200+ per registration year as far as that goes. Yeah, Tesla has now started charging for the cables that they supply with the vehicle. Huh. So I guess you used to get free cables with the vehicles for a while. Well, there's a lot of things they used to throw in initially to get you to buy one, right?
Right, exactly. But now they're a big enough company that they don't need to do that now. No. They can charge you extra for that stuff.
Yeah, so it costs, here you go. This is the best start. The cost of installing a charging station at your home, we have spoke about before. The station is $400 to $1,500, but you often need an electrical panel upgrade, plus the installation can get costly. Often the charges run from $1,500 to $12,000, depending on how and where and what for your home charging station. A full charge at home for your vehicle is around $10 in electric costs, but to use a fast charger at malls, etc., usually runs about $30. Now, if you leave the vehicle plugged in after a full charge, some stations charge $1 a minute additional. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am. They want to keep the lines moving or keep those chargers open for the next person to come in. So
yep. Others,
that's the other way to incentivize you. You better be back right on time.
Correct.
To get your car.
Others charge $20 per hour after 4 hours additional. EVs have a higher insurance premiums. We already talked about that because of the fact that the cost of repair or replace the vehicle is usually higher on average. So insurance costs $600 more per year. So you got to pencil out the numbers for you. Once again, if you have solar and all that at your house, you know, you could save a lot of money. The electric car may be your friend for your daily drives to work and around town and getting the kids to home and school or whatever you're doing, you know, as far as that goes. Not the best for traveling across the country, but definitely could be a perfect daily driver car. Could save you some money as far as that goes. Because if you don't pay for fuel at all because you have solar, that there is a good cost savings there. No question about
absolutely.
It. But remember, insurance is going to be a bit higher. You're going to pay road tax for fuel again now anyway because everybody's charging it. And repairs can be more expensive when needed because the parts just tend to be more expensive.
Right. Not to mention, you know, EV batteries, they start to wear out over time too, the more you charge it often and often. You compared it to an iPhone battery, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes as the years go by, your battery power depreciates even faster than it did before. And not to mention, how much does an EV battery cost by itself? It's just probably the car itself.
Well, it depends on what they are. Like, you know, Prius batteries, which is not a full EV, but was a hybrid. We were replacing those, and it's the same concept on that style car. Because the car was so common, mm-hmm. you know, the battery's $3,000, $3,500, $4,000 in that area for the battery. But other batteries, like we had a Nissan Maxima that was in, that was a hybrid with the battery had failed on it. The battery was $12,000. Now, I've been told that Tesla batteries, when they go, they're $25,000. But most vehicles aren't, those vehicles aren't worth it by that point.
Of course.
But the one thing's for sure is battery wear is real, and it does happen, and it's going to be get to a point where it doesn't hold as long a charge no matter what. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
All right. All right, folks, we're talking about EVs and if they're cost effective for you. We're going to take our last break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back, man. We're talking about EVs. What a great show today. Brendan, thanks for chiming in. We appreciate you
always
being part of the team, as always.
Woo-hoo.
Do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there, technician recommended wise, for sure. Number one technician recommended battery worldwide is Interstate Battery when it comes to automobiles. Need a battery for one of your vehicles? Jump on westautomotivegroup.com, get an appointment, we'll get you in and get you Interstate installed. Need a battery for any other reason? Check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or in La Mesa at 70th and University Avenue. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. Yeehaw. Brendan's got a battery from Interstate and everything he's got.
That's right. And I couldn't be happier.
Couldn't be happier. That's a good way to be. I like it when you couldn't be happier, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a big statement there as far as that goes. All right. So we're finishing up talking about EVs. So there is one big thing about EVs that we don't talk about. So EV, not hybrids, but EVs, are not covered by the Right to Repair Act. Do you know what the Right to Repair Act is?
Yes, that is the act where you can decide what repair shop you want to take your vehicle to.
Well, it's the act that says that manufacturers have to supply the aftermarket, us, like the West Automotive Group, with the information and availability for us to be able to fix these cars. Mm-hmm. So, and the parts and all that kind of stuff. So, they can't withhold all that. They can't set it up. So that works great for all ICE cars, hybrids. All those are covered underneath the Right to Repair Act. Electric vehicles are not. So when you buy an electric vehicle, you're captive by the dealer, which is what's going on with been with Tesla for a long time, right?
Absolutely.
Very few things can, you know, I mean, we do alignments on Teslas. We do control arms. We do brake pads. That's about it. The rest of the information we can't get.
I mean, there's been some leaks about some of the things about Tesla, like their battery. It looks like it's like 6 D volt batteries. Well,
it's a lot more than 6 D batteries. There's a ton of batteries in that thing.
No, but that's what it looked like. Like a giant,
It looks like a bunch of D batteries, but they're actually bigger than D batteries.
Yeah. But that's what they look like is what I was trying to
say. The information's leaked, but you can't buy the parts to fix the car anyway.
Right.
Independently. So what's, who cares?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? Great. I can tell you what's wrong with it. I can't fix it, though.
Not to mention, most of the time with Tesla, it's always just a software update every single time. So,
which they do those on the go.
Exactly.
So yeah. There's a lot of other things that go wrong with them, though.
Yeah.
And you know how I know this?
Because
drive by Tesla right over here and look at the parking lot.
Oh, I was going
to
say
it's because full of cars waiting to be fixed. And their wait times for service are anywhere from 2 days to 6 weeks.
Right. I was just going to say, you just also listen to Auto Talk Radio on a weekly basis. I feel like we just make a constant remarks about, you know, Tesla got recalled for this issue this week and so on and so forth.
Well, they do get a lot of recalls, but everybody does these
days. No, but Tesla's number one on that
they
list, remember?
I mean, that's right. I think we went over that.
Every single one of their cars at some point in their history have been recalled. Every single one of them. Had to be for something small or big, it doesn't matter. they've been recalled for something.
Gotcha. Well, number one of the things on here is like I just said, right to repair. So you're captive by the dealer, such as Tesla, the T word, there it is. They do not allow others to service their vehicles. They supply no repair information, and they do not like to sell parts. Don't like to, they don't. Unlike the automotive, gas, and diesel vehicles, where you have a large number of options when it comes to service and repair, you can go to an independent, such as the West Automotive Group, of your vehicle, and you're not held captive as these vehicles covered by the right to repair, which means the manufacturers give the information, sell the parts, all those things are available. I do believe it's only a matter of time till these EVs will be included, I would think, with the Right to Repair Act. Well, first off, if enough of them are in the market, just like gasoline, if car dealers could never service and repair all the vehicles, service departments for new car dealers could never service and repair all the vehicles that are on the road these days. They don't have enough availability.
Right.
So that would be, you know, and consumers need to have options, right? We love options, especially here in the great United States of America.
Yep.
We want our options, and I want to be able to take my car wherever I want to have the oil changed or serviced or repaired, diagnosed, whatever needs to be done to it, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, shoot, I do my own anyway, yeah. So it's all good.
Going back to the Tesla recall, I just looked it up just a few weeks ago again. Tesla has done a voluntary recall due to brake fluid in select Model 3 and Model Y vehicles, mm-hmm. 2024 and 2025, to be exact, in their Model Ys and Model 3s. They said that the issue is specifically dealing with brake line corrosion specifically. So to fix this, they said that they're going to do two things. Number one, Tesla is going to replace the brake fluid that's impacted on the has it on the impacted vehicles. They do not expect to replace the brake lines, just the brake fluid. And of course, mm-hmm. what else did we just say afterwards? There's also a software update that they're going to do on the cars on top of that. So
yeah. Well, there you have it.
Yeah, more.
They don't allow those software out. We could replace the brake fluid for you, but they don't allow the software updates out. Mm-hmm. They keep them inside of Tesla. So, you know, very interesting, though, how they do that, huh? How would you like to start a business that everything you sold had to come back to you for service?
Well, I mean,
and there's no options on cost.
Again, it comes down to quantity over quality, I guess, for that mm-hmm. matter. I mean, you're trying to push these vehicles out as fast as possible because, again, you're in such a very, very high demand market with also a very competitive market on top of that. So
correct.
You're going to make mistakes here and there, I understand. But it's just, it seems like on a weekly basis we talk about these issues over and over.
Yep.
But,
and, you know, hybrids are a great option over EVs.
Yes.
Because you get the high gas mileage. But you also, a lot of hybrids don't have to be ever plugged in or anything like that. So they regen on themselves. So that's something to look at. And really what it comes down to, you just got to pencil this out. You know, what's it going to cost to register it? Is the insurance going to be more? Pencil all the things for the EV model you want. Pencil all the costs and then pencil all the costs for a gasoline model, what you're looking at. And that will tell you, is this more cost effective for you or not? Some people it is. Some people it's not. So just want to, you know, hybrids have slightly lower maintenance cost also because although they have an ICE and that, it's not running all the time. So just depends. Once again, you just got to figure out what is the right vehicle for you, and that will cost-wise and figure it out for you. I do know that some of the high cost on EVs are, like said, if you don't have a house, you don't have solar, you have to charge it at a charging station. It's like kind of filling up with gas. You know, having a charging station installed, like if you live in a condo, requires special permits and all that kind of stuff. It's quite expensive. If you live in apartment complexes now in California, though, are putting EV charging stations in. Didn't you say, Brendan, that where you live, your apartment complex has EV charging stations?
Yes, they are. But again,
you got to pay for them, right?
Yep. And not only that, they have a very, very few options.
There's a lot of people using them.
Exactly. So it's constantly being used.
The dude that lives by there is Tesla's in that parking spot all the time, huh?
Get out of here, you son of a
gun. Anyway. True point. But they're that. And then obviously your home, nobody else is parking their car and charging it there. So the best option if you're going to purchase a hybrid would most likely be if you have a house, you have solar, and you have your own charging station, right?
Correctamundo.
That, pull into your garage, plug that bad boy in, and don't worry about it till the morning. So that would be the best way to go, without question. Anyway, hey, this has been a great show talking about hybrids.
Yeah,
and, I mean, and EVs and everything else.
I continue to learn something new every week with you, so.
I hope so. I wouldn't want to be boring and you're not learning anything. That'd be terrible. So anyway, yeah, great stuff, though. San Diego, everybody else out there, we really appreciate you joining us here on Auto Talk Radio. Make sure and tune in next Saturday as we'll be back live once again talking everything automotive. Keep the rubber side down and shiny side up. Until next Saturday, this has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.